Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and we're continuing our coverage here from Radio Row at Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. And I'm joined now by Daniel Jeremiah, move the sticks himself, former Eagles scout, and now with NFL Network, doing tremendous, tremendous analysis on a daily basis. Also hosts the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks. And Dan, what has it been like watching this Eagles team overcome so many obstacles to get to where they're at today on the precipice of winning its first Super Bowl?
I don't know what the precedent is here when you look at the guys that they've lost, at the positions they've lost, at the level that those guys were playing, and then you mix in the leadership aspect of everything that they've lost. I'd have nothing to draw on to compare this run that they're on to. But to me, it just speaks to building your roster 1 to 53 and building up that quality depth and having the character of guys that when these guys did go down, there was no flinch. It was, okay, let's just keep this thing rolling. We're going to be fine. And I think that depth has carried them all the way to this point.
How do you develop that on a team? Not so much the depth part, but the chemistry part of it, where you're able to find those high-character guys that they believe in that next-man-up mentality and they can keep things rolling.
Well, this is going to sound pretty basic, but to me, you find guys that love football. And I think a lot of people at home just assume that everybody in this league loves football.
No, that's not the case.
And so you've got guys that are passionate about it, and because they're passionate about their craft, they're going to be passionate about the guys they're lining up next to and that can help them achieve their ultimate goal. And I think they've just collected so many of those guys. There's not selfish players on this football team, which is so rare in today's NFL. Everybody's looking out for me and the next contract and what's in it for me. This team has been, what can we do to make the collective group better? And that's a special group of guys. Now, I wish there was some way you could say, how do you find that? How do you find those guys that love football? It's a secret sauce.
But it's a lightning in the bottle type
But they've been able to narrow in on some guys. I think the veterans that they've brought in here, as well as they've drafted over the last few years, I think sprinkling in the Chris Longs of the world, that's just huge.
Daniel, when you look at what the Eagles were at the start of training camp, you were over at the NovaCare Complex. You saw them in action. And usually that's the team you're going to go into the season with.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the job Howie Roseman has done getting guys like Ronald Darby, trading for Jay Ajayi at the deadline, not settling for what he had going to training camp, saying, I need to make it a little bit better and finding ways to do that?
Yeah, and again, it doesn't even come down to those are great examples, but it doesn't even come down to saying these guys will get on the field right away, they're going to beat people out. It's that every decision they've made is just to strengthen the entire roster. And those guys in particular, I think you look at key positions, especially the corner position, and you could easily say, okay, you know, our team's kind of built for next year. This is kind of a gravy year for
us.
But to realize the opportunity that you've given to assess your roster, assess the league, and say, man, we can do this right now. Let's be aggressive. Everything that they've done has been leaning towards the aggressive side, and I think that's even what you've seen from Doug on the field, going for it on fourth downs. You don't win in this league being scared. You be aggressive in going out and acquiring talent, and you'd be aggressive on game day.
Speaking of Doug, how important is it for him to keep that aggressive mindset? Yep. Because it's one game, it's the game, the Super Bowl, the whole spotlight's on him, the whole nine with that. But you don't want to stray from what got you to this point.
Yeah, and especially against this team. I mean, the Patriots pride themselves on you can move it between the 20s, and then we're going to lock down once we get inside there, and we're going to trade you 4 points. You're going to get three, and we're going to go get seven. That's a bad math scenario for when you're playing the Patriots. So, I think, look, you've seen Doug do it all year. I think we'll see it again in this game. If it's fourth and two on the opening drive at the 23-yard line, I'll be shocked if they don't go for it. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way that they've been playing, and I think you have to keep your foot on the gas.
Doug came from Kansas City.
Yep.
Kansas City handled the Patriots quite well all the way back in week one.
Yeah.
But when you look at from an offensive schematic standpoint, are there things that Doug can take from that game and apply and say, we've got this in our playbook, we got that play that we can run, and use that against New England on Sunday?
I actually, when I go back and watch that game, I think a lot of the big plays that took place in that game was communication with New England. They've cleaned a lot of that stuff up. When you bring in Stephon Gilmore and you have new bodies back there, they weren't in the same page. And I think they've cleaned that up. So to me, I wouldn't even really look at that Kansas City game as much. I just look at last week or 2 weeks ago in the Jacksonville game and see what they did on the perimeter using the RPOs to get out in space. I think this New England team, it's not a team you want to just bang your head against the wall in between the tackles. Get to the perimeter. Do it in the screen game. Do it in the RPO game. Jacksonville was darn successful getting that done.
Yeah. What do you think they got away from in the second half? We know how good the Patriots are at making the adjustments. What do you think was the difference, or was it just simply in the clutch, New England just did a better job of executing?
Look, there's one play that I'm sure people have pointed to, but at the end of the half when you have 50 seconds, you take a knee, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it against the Patriots playing like that. And I thought that was kind of symbolic of how they kind of reeled it in. You can't do that. I think they tried to they really did a nice job of featuring Bortles in the first half.
They did.
They tried to hide him in the second half. You can't do that. You've got to trust your guys. You've got to go for it.
How much are you looking forward to seeing the chess match with New England's offense and the way they use the backs in the passing game against the Eagles and the linebackers and trying to offset that pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating. I think the tackling for the Eagles is paramount in this game, and that's getting those linebackers. They're going to try and get those linebackers isolated. But the Eagles, when you look at the athleticism they have at the linebacker position, especially with Kendricks, I think he's going to be huge in this game.
I agree.
Being able to make open field tackles and not giving up yards after the catch. Brady's going to try and gas out this front, and he's going to do it by getting the ball out quick for the first half, and then I think you'll see them try and expand down the field a little bit later. But early in this game, tackling's huge.
If there's an X factor, a player who's going a little under the radar, you mentioned Michael Kendricks, he might be a good one for this, but who you think has to step up for the Eagles in a big way. And as someone who knows this roster quite well, who would you say that would be?
Well, I mentioned getting to the perimeter in the run game, so Corey Clement, to me, could be the back as much as we talk about the other two. I think this could be his type of a game. Get on the edge, use him in the screen game, and use that speed that he has on the outside. I think he's one I'd keep an eye on. And then when you look at potential matchups, Nelson Aguilar in the slot, I think, is a decided advantage. So Eric Rowe, my opinion, is too high cut. He's too stiff to be able to change directions with him. So I think that's, you know, as much as we're talking about Alshon Jeffery and Jay Ajayi and all that, I think this game could be a Corey Clement, Nelson Aguilar game.
It'd be fascinating, to say the very least. All right, Aunt Daniel, you've been on the bandwagon all throughout the playoffs.
I think I've been driving the bandwagon.
You may have been leading the bandwagon, okay? You know, Bucky's been taking the opposition every week.
What the heck,
so,
man. It's been a strain on our relationship. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Super Bowl, Daniel. It's a big one right here. Are you riding with the birds?
Well,
flying with the birds here.
We know that every Patriots Super Bowl is a tight game.
Yes.
9 times out of 10, or I guess what are the 5 out of 7, we have a kick. It's a big kick, and they end up winning the game. So 31-28. But hold on. It's not the Patriots with the last second play. I'll say it's a kick. I'm going to say Nelson Aguilar.
Wow.
Nelson Aguilar is going to catch a touchdown inside 2 minutes. They get a stop to end the game, and that's it. Like, can you imagine? I just want to see.
They're going to stop Tom Brady.
They're going to stop, and nobody does that. They're going to stop him on the final drive. So the 31-28 Eagles.
Daniel, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
I just want to see what the parade looks like.
That's exactly. You going to come out?
If they have the parade,
yes.
Yeah, you got my ticket? You got my ticket?
We'll make it happen. Come on now.
I'll talk to Howie, see if he can get my ticket.
I think he would take care of you, for very least. So, Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks on Twitter. Host the podcast with Bucky Brooks. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com as we continue our coverage here from Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis.